wake up. Today's gonna be a good day.
Welcome to the Pokeballs podcast, everyone. My name is Lee, one of your hosts, and I'm joined by co-host live in person here this week.
IRL podcast.
Scott, how are you doing, mate?
I am very good. We've had a great weekend so far.
Has been good. It's a little bit different than the usual podcast, obviously. We are here at the European International Championships in London, which is running this weekend. I've been commentating and Scott has been playing. So we've been having a great weekend, mate.
Yeah, it's been pretty wild. I mean, you know, you've been casting. How's it been?
It's been really good, mate. Really good. The event's been... It's just flown over, though.
The production value of this, like...
Yeah.
I mean... You know, for those who don't know, the events, you know, they've always been good, but it feels like where we've had such a larger increase in numbers, like the production value just keeps going up and up. And like they have four main stages up for the production. They have Go, VGC, TCG and Unite on the end. And it looks awesome. Like they've done like amazing. They've even got like down the middle of like all the tables, they've got like a victory road that they've made and...
After the trophy,
it's really cool.
They've done really well this year. Yeah, it's very close to what Worlds. It's obviously not the same scale as Worlds, but it's very close to Worlds. Have you seen the Unite stage as well?
Oh, mate, the Unite stage. It's like a proper esports stage.
Yeah,
it
looks awesome. So cool. It's really exciting. It's just flown by, mate. I can't believe this is Sunday morning when we're recording this. So we've got Championship Sunday. This afternoon, kicking off later with Pokemon Go, TCG, Unite, and then VG will be ending up. So we'll be finishing the day and it'll be a lot of fun. So just flown by. It's been really fun. Just like full on, like normal.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying to Lee yesterday, like this is the first time I've been to an event and the day's flown by. Like, normally these events, like they're brutal, right? I mean... We've been shattered. Yesterday, we were so tired. And then Friday was the same. I just went home. But, like, normally, it's a long day, right? You start at 9. You're sort of going to, like, 8, 9 o'clock at night. Like, constant, short, like, lunch break. We had 45 minutes. You didn't even eat. You know, you didn't have time to eat. But, I mean, Friday literally flew by. I had genuinely... I was so happy when I got home. It was just, like, such a good day. Like, even the games feel like they dragged. Like, the opponents that I played were super nice, super friendly. Got like some conversations going and stuff, and yeah, it was just like what playing Pokemon is all about for me.
Yeah.
You know, like the company, like seeing people that I hadn't seen in ages as well, was just like this is why I play the game.
It's such a good event just for that. And like if there's any one of you watching this and thinking, oh, I might like to do that, there'll be one next year for sure. Don't know where it will be. Be in Europe, so I'll be in the European one somewhere. So, but always worth traveling out to if you can.
You can get a ticket.
Yeah, and the Pokemon Center as well, that was there. So that was very cool. But yeah, it's been crazy, and I can't believe it's nearly over, mate. I can't believe it. But yeah, we still got one more day to go,
Very exciting. Championship finals.
Yeah,
always good. We've got some good games lined up.
Yeah. Very good. The reason why I don't eat, though, mate, through events is it's the same reason when I'm playing a tournament. I feel like if I eat anything, and it doesn't matter, I've kind of experimented over the years with when I've been playing. Like, I can eat, like, a high-protein kind of meal, or I can eat, with high-protein, low-carb, or I can eat just a carby meal, something standard, or a high-fat meal. None of that seems to work, and I always feel, like... very lethargic afterwards. And it's not like I'm eating like a pig and like being, you know, like oinkalong or whatever. Like
it's hard, like it's weird. Like again yesterday when I had lunch, it's weird how food just like yeets you. And like, I was so tired after I ate lunch, and I just kind of don't want to risk doing that because you don't want to be tired in front of camera.
That's what I feel, and I'm not I don't feel as sharp or anything. I feel like it's not the best, and I would never advise anyone to do it, but just for me personally, I just can't eat. I'll keep myself hydrated with plenty of water and stuff. I can maybe have like a bit of fruit, like an apple or something would be fine. But other than that, I'd never tend to when I need to be like on the game. So it's not that I did have time to grab stuff. I just never choose to. And then I just kind of like pig out like Naruto at the end of the day and then fall asleep. So yeah, it's just how my brain works, mate.
Thinking about, okay, so if any of you have watched the stream, we've had some interesting moments. Lee's obviously been amazing. And thanks, mate. Yesterday they had a really fun segment, which we rewatched last night, about the pronunciation of Pokemon.
It was so funny.
It was, so I mean, funny. it was hilarious, to be honest with you, because of all, like, there's always a hot debate, right? How do you pronounce certain Pokemon? I mean, you know, you think back to when, you know, the Tapu Pokemon come out, and, you know, the Ultra Beasts, you know, Nilego, right? How is it pronounced? Is it Nilego? Nilego? Nihilego? Everyone was like, yeah. And so, you know, they introduced this fun segment where, like, how do you pronounce these Pokemon? And it was you, Lou, and Costa were up on stage. And honestly, it looked like they were having such a fun time.
It was a lot of fun. As bad as I did through it, and my brain just went blank. Because I normally, all right, like, I'm not the best with pronunciations. I got my own way to say certain things. And I'm the first one to admit. But I never nitpick about stuff. But yeah, my brain went a bit spaghetti on stage yesterday, but it made for good entertainment, and it was good fun. And
you get a chance, you need to watch it. We might upload it to the channel. I think it was very fun.
It was very fun.
But there was a bit where I thought was really funny. Lou, one of the casters, she was like, she really likes Regieleki, and she was like, oh, I found out this weekend that it's not pronounced Regieleki, it's pronounced Regieleki. And we were like, you just said the same thing twice.
Costa's like, you just said the same thing twice.
Apparently it's pronounced Regieleki.
Regieleki.
Regieleki, yeah. Not Regieleki.
Yeah.
And Garganacle is meant to be Garganacle.
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 Garganacle. Yeah.
That's brutal, that one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty... But I mean, just say it how you want. We know what you mean.
I think you should go on stream tonight and just butcher all the pronunciations of all the names.
No, I would like to work another production. I've already done enough butchering, so we'll see. At least we don't have any pronunciations to worry about for another couple of years, at least, till Gen 10 comes around, and then we'll have that.
How's the new Pokemon to be like?
Yeah, not a new one. Although the DLC is coming around quite soon, so there'll probably be some new Pokemon. In that, we know we've got a few new ones coming, which is pretty cool. And so the event itself, if you were, you'll be watching this, hopefully there was a giveaway over the weekend for the Gavin Michaels Palafin. When this goes up, the event will have finished on the 17th, so it's actually the Monday, so there's not really much point of mentioning it. But, you know, hopefully you did get it if you caught any of the event. That was a nice mystery gift to get as well as part of the event that was running. But if you did watch any of the streams over the weekend, be that for Go, TCG, Unite or anything like that, let us know what you thought of the event. It'd be great to get your thoughts on what your favourite
bits
were.
Unite was wild, man. Like, people are probably screaming for that.
The Unite fans are baller. They were popping off.
And the commentators as well. The commentators had their...
Oh, yeah, the
dazzled, shiny suits.
They always dress up for the occasion.
I honestly think Unite has the potential to be bigger than everything, really. Because it's like...
I think if the game was better, I think it would. I'm not bashing Unite, but I think there is an obvious problem with... doesn't matter what you do in the early game, it feels like... it's always decided by that. And I think if they do stuff to kind of maybe balance it out
Did you see a team one like... the team that won yesterday, one of the ones, I don't know if it's semi-finals or it was final, whatever, but they dunked last minute as the timer ran out and won by 3 points.
Oh.
3 points.
That's what's
exciting
about it.
They were mental,
yeah.
But what I quite like about Unite is that, like, compared to other MOBAs, they're 10 minutes.
Mm.
Whereas with, like, League and Dota, the games can run, like, you know, 40 minutes plus, even, like, an hour long, you know.
Yeah.
It's too long, but you know it's going to be, like, a 10-minute game with Unite. So that's why I think it has a lot of potential.
Yeah. But it keeps that excitement, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly.
And engagement, and it's not, like, dragging on and anything like that. It is very, like... That's why I like Pokemon Go, you know. I really like Go as watching it, because it's so fast-paced.
Mate, they had so many players, didn't they? You were telling me yesterday that they had record numbers.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest attended event that they've had for Go, which is crazy. I think they had like 25 rounds or something like that, which is
brutal.
Madness. So
yeah,
cool,
I mean, thought nine was bad.
Yeah.
Best of three or best of five for Go?
I'm not sure. I know the finals are like best of five, so I'm not sure if the earlier rounds are. Let us know if you play. I love watching it, though. You would think I should know more because I like watching it, but I'm not. I don't really
quite
have much time.
Because you have to learn to, like, Terrence was telling me that you had to, like, learn to count their number of taps, so you know when the move's coming, and you have to count how many taps you're doing as well.
Imagine,
it's very you have to, like,
in-depth.
Be on it.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to it. It's not just simply like bringing Trevenant and just you know, rocking through the tournament or whatever. But yeah, it's really good. I like it. So yeah, there was that. There's this weekend, so that'll be over soon, which is pretty sad. But then there's more ICs coming up. Even the next one is NAIC, which would be in June, and then it'll be the World Championships after that. A bunch of regionals in between, of course, for all of these things, which is good. So that's a competitive circuit. And yeah, just been an amazing weekend, seeing everyone, being at the venue, and yeah, just enjoying things. So hopefully you can get out. If you didn't get to come to this one, you can get out to one in the future.
I mean, I just want to touch on the Pokemon Center for there, right? So they did...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They did a pop-up Pokemon Center for Worlds last year because it was held in London. It's over in the XL Arena. And, you know, that was, I mean, they opened it from Thursday to Sunday, or maybe to Monday. I can't remember when it closed, but they opened it on Thursday, which they Sunday. Never did. They never did it on... They only opened it on Friday this year. But, I mean, the amount of people, like, just people coming in for the Pokemon Center was nuts at Worlds. And even, like, now, like, yesterday and today, like, the amount of people that were coming in. Obviously, we were in there because we were playing, so we had the badge. You can see who aren't. Yeah. People that aren't playing because they don't.
Well, I mean, we went at what 10 a.m. this morning on a Sunday morning, and it was rammed. It was rammed, mate.
I had to queue. I mean, put it into perspective. Worlds last year, so you book a time slot, right, to get into the Pokemon Center, and we did it this year at Worlds. We sort of just walked straight in. You know, we had like a 12 o'clock slot on the Saturday. We said, "Oh, we'll go in." Got up, we walked around the queue. That we didn't have to queue. They let us in. This one, we had to pre-queue to get into the queue. It was like half an hour, 45 minutes just to get in. It was crazy busy yesterday.
That's brutal.
And then yesterday, right? So this is wild. Okay, great story time. So I bought some trading cards yesterday. So I went in there and...
No self-awareness, people.
I was really like, I was, you know, in the Pokemon Center at Worlds last year, I spent 180 quid, right? So I was worried that I was going to spend a lot of money. And I went in there and I was like, you know, I was a bit reserved. I was like... You know, I could get this, but I don't necessarily need to get it. You know, there was nothing in that was really screaming, buy me. So I was like, oh. So I put a lot of things back. There was a few T-shirts. I was like, maybe. But then I went to grab one thing and there was only one left and the guy took someone bought tickets. So I was like, oh. And then I went over to like the TCG section. And for those of you who don't know, I mean, as we've mentioned, Lee has a lot of cards. And he sort of got me into it as well. And when I normally buy cards, this addiction that we have, I normally buy sealed stuff, right? I keep it sealed. And so I never really get a chance to open it. So I was looking at the stuff. They had loads of single packs and they had these little booster bundles, Scarlet and Violet booster bundles. And I hadn't opened any Scarlet and Violet packs. And I was like, fuck it, screw it. Let's just get some, right? Just for funsies. You get 6 packs in here for 24 quid. I almost put them back and bought singles because I was like, there's no way they're going to give you good hits in here, right? There's no way. So
good job you did it.
Normally, if you get singles, right, you know, you've got a better chance because if you grab a few different ones from different places, you might get good pulls. But so last night we sat on the bed and I was like, it must have been like 10:30, 11 o'clock. We were like, let's open them up. So sat on the bed, took the packs out, gave 3 to Lee, 3 to me, right? Start opening my packs, right? And for those of you who don't know, the chase card in this set, this is the base set Scarlet and Violet. So the first time they've changed it to the silver borders, very similar to Japan. Really like sought after set, right? And it's the first one for Scarlet and Violet. And so the chase cards are the Miriam all art that they have. And then you also have the two gold star Maraidon and Coridon.
The full gold ones.
The full gold ones, yeah. Sorry. And then you also have the, there's like a Coridon all art.
Arts,
which is really sick.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there, right? So I'm opening the pack. So I go first. Well, we're kind of both opening at the same time, but I'm a bit faster. I get my pack open, right? And I get to the end and I go, holy shit, I've pulled a Miriam, right? And Lee was like, oh my God, that's like the rarest card in the set.
That's the chase card.
That's the chase card. And then Lee's like slowly opening his pack.
I haven't seen it. There you go. Have a look at that.
It's gorgeous, man. Honestly, it's so nice.
Very nice card.
And literally, Lee's in the middle of opening his pack. He gets to the last card and we hit Coridon. And we're like, these are like the two rarest cards in the set. How the hell we hit this?
There you go.
Was literally back to back, like seconds. Like, you can't make this stuff up. The fact that we open them back to back. And then also, I also got a Toxicroak EX as well in the same box, which is wild. And then Fido as well. And I was like, this is like the most
stacked box.
Cracked pack.
It was so cracked. So
that was six packs. So good. Like I was saying, like you wouldn't get that many good pulls probably from a booster. You get a lot of good pulls from a booster, but not that many of the rarer ones, I don't think. So, yeah, it's a good box. So we went back this morning thinking, oh, we'll get another
one. Yeah, we'll get another one. They had none left.
All gone.
And the thing is, I nearly put this back. Right. I was so glad I didn't put it back because I saw someone pick it up. And yeah, then I put it back. And I was like, yeah, I'll just grab this. But they didn't have any. So we went and I bought a mini tin that had Crown Zenith, and Lee bought some packs. And
I got this morning. I got the full art Miriam.
They got the other Miriam.
Yeah, so we both put Miriam.
I actually packed it for him. So, you know, we got some mad pack luck this weekend, really. Yeah,
didn't get anything else other than that. But that's, that was a nice little poll. So,
Also, we have these...
crazy good.
The bags are also really cool. So we didn't get the yellow ones. So they did these, if you bought loads of stuff last year, as you know, they gave you these like bigger, larger, like yellow Pokemon bags with a Pikachu on it. And they were really cool. I already have one. Mm. I'm assuming you already have one. Yeah. But this year for the smaller stuff, you know, they had these smaller bags, which are really cute. So every time you bought something, you got one of these if you wanted one. So I've got two of these now.
And a promo card.
Which
is really nice.
And a promo card, which
Professor Willow from
Go.
Really good, yeah. It's a nice...
Like, really cool. I mean, in the past, like you said, like the Pokemon Centers that they've had at like the World Championships have been so trash, right?
Yeah, and now they've always been exciting, but they've always been quite small. It's not like a Pokemon Center like you would get...
In Japan.
Yeah, you couldn't... like compare it to a Japanese actual Pokemon Center, but now they're, you know, these pop-up Pokemon Centers are way more, I think, like, from what I've seen, the Japanese Pokemon Centers, of course, you'll be able to say a bit better than me because you've actually been to one, but they feel like they would be more in line with what you'd get in Japan. The amount of merch that you've got there, well, there wasn't that much at this one. I was surprised it wasn't as big as the one at Worlds. Worlds was huge. There was an array of different stuff. This one seemed a lot smaller, but it makes sense.
I preferred the stuff at the World Shop.
Yeah, I did. And I think there was a lot more at the World Shop compared to this one, but it makes sense because it's smaller.
We had the World's exclusive merch, which was obviously going to be better than like in the US.
And there's not as much exclusive merch for this one. You've got like the Eevee play mats and stuff like that, and then the kind of the Eevee and the evolution.
That was they normally pick a theme for like the events,
which I really like.
Eevee this year,
you can't go wrong with Eevees and evolutions, so it's pretty cool. So yeah, all the exclusive stuff for the event was cool, just not as much because it's not like the World Championships. But that's the theme for the ICs this year, which is really good. So yeah, anything else from the weekend? I feel like I was about to just skim over it, so I'm pleased you came back.
I just think you know, it was just, it's a good time event. If you are thinking about, you know, we won't sit here and bore you with all like the technical details and stuff, but if you are, you know, I met quite a few people yesterday who, you know, this was their first or second event.
Yeah.
You know, they've played in some before, but like, if you can get a ticket, you know, come down and play. Like, the community is so welcoming. Like, it is lovely. Yeah.
And I think the big thing about it is it's not, the main things are the competitive side of it, but it's not just for the competitive player. There is a lot to come for just regular Pokemon fans, just to come and be a part of
this is a thing,
event,
right? Like,
enjoy it, kind of meet other Pokemon fans, do the Pokemon Center, do the side events, do. There's so much going on the whole weekend.
And you can play the side events, like you mentioned, the side events. Yeah. They always have fun side events.
Yeah.
You can you get points from the side events. You can buy packs with them and stuff like that.
It's just good fun, isn't it?
But like, it's gotten to a point now where, like you just said, you can come along and spectate and have a great time. Yeah. And when I went to Worlds last time, it was the first time because I didn't qualify for Worlds. I played in they normally have an open there. I played in that, but for most of the time I was spectating. And it's the first time I'd really spectated an event, and it was amazing. And like this time, really, you know, yesterday, obviously I wasn't playing. Unfortunately, I didn't make it to day two. So we won't be making it to the final, but, you know, it is what it is. But, you know,
I was going to say, we haven't touched on how your tournament went. Actually.
We can talk about that in a second, but, you know, yesterday I just spectated and it was great fun. You know, got to watch you guys on the couch. You look like you're having a great time. All the games have been super fun. I think this format is super interesting.
Good viewing.
So yeah, but no, I went 5-4 yesterday. I went positive. We take those. But as we said, as we've mentioned, without locals, without best of three practice, it's really hard to get a judge for your team, no matter how much practice you do online.
770 something players. So there's a lot of players. So
yeah, I think I come like 330th.
Not bad, mate.
It's not bad. I'll take
it
about halfway.
Finishing positive is really good. So That's a plus. So.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
All day.
All good experience. And the main thing is you had a good time as well.
No, honestly, I get to spend time with you. I get to meet. Again, the biggest thing with events is that, like, you see people you don't necessarily see outside of events because, you know, people come from all over, right? So, you know, I've got a lot of friends that live like 2-3 hours away and it's really hard to get, to spend, if they don't live in London, and obviously London's, you know, a lot easier to get commuting to for a lot of people. But if they don't live there, they live in the middle of nowhere, like, you know, it's hard to see them. So you only see them at events. So it's always fantastic. And that's one of the reasons I keep coming back. So it's that, and the community's just
great.
Sick.
Right, that is EUIC stuff out the way and for another year, sadly. But we'll hope you've enjoyed this little recap, of course, of this. We've got plenty more on the pod today to talk about, though, because there's been still a lot going on in the Pokemon world outside of EUIC, as busy and as hectic as that's been. We had the first episode of the brand new Pokemon anime start this past week, which was
big deal
in Japan.
Big deal.
And a big reveal as well of kind of a hint at a Pokemon that's
pre-evolution
been,
for the
Topagos. The turtle Pokemon that's been in the Indigo Disc DLC pack. It is like the Pokemon on the front there, which is the touted to be the one behind Terastallization, the one that is on top of Heath drew that picture in the Scarlet and the Violet books, and it is supposedly that Pokemon. So the baby form or the pre-evolved form, we don't know, was in the first episode of the anime, which is crazy. So maybe we get some news soon about the DLCs about that Pokemon.
So, right.
And I think now as well, touching on it, I don't know if we mentioned last week about the Typhlosion Terror Raid that started over this weekend, which is running over this weekend as well. With that, you feel like it's the, you know, we've had the Hisuian start, a kind of Pokemon. They're not the Hisuian ones, but they are, you know, they're normal forms of the Hisuian Pokemon. So you'd feel like now we've had the Typhlosion. It feels like it's come to an end with this, like, cycle of 7-star raids. Is home around the corner as well. Yeah. Pokemon home compatibility, so we can get everything in from there.
They said early 2020.
They did say early.
We're now in April. May is not early. That is mid. That is Q2, my friend.
The Q2, definitely. That is Q2. Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see. I do feel like there has to be something. We know we're getting that update in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet in regards to the Walking Wake Iron Leaves bad egg glitch. We talked about that briefly.
Mate.
So that's coming at the end of April. Is that update going to be a fix for the glitch with the bad egg so people can catch it again? We know we're going to get that event back again, which will be the next event after the Typhlosion raid has its second phase. That update will drop. Is that going to be the update where we're going to get Pokemon home? Hopefully. You would hope so.
Just touching quickly, I do agree with you, but going back to the story I was telling you earlier. So as you all know about these glitches of people losing their save.
Oh, yeah. This is actually
funny. So, bear in mind, so I got my ticket. You have to pay for a ticket to go to EURC. So, you know, I've been well excited to play, you know, obviously, as we've mentioned. And so, you know, I've been building my team, I've been practicing. And on, like, Sunday, I go on, boot up my Switch, click on the game, and it goes, "Welcome to Pokemon. Please choose your character." And I was like... I was like insta panicking. Like, I had my phone in the hand. I was about to like ring Lee. I was like, what the hell is going on, man? Like, please don't let this be true. Like, have you got a spare card? Like, I was literally just about to go mental. And then I realized that I'd signed into the wrong account on my Switch. And I was like, heart rate went back to normal pace.
Oh,
I was like, I had a massive panic attack. I was so worried.
That would be horrible. But I do still think, like, if I ever shut down my game, I just put it in sleep mode. But I do. If I ever shut it down completely and then when I reopen it again, I think, is this the time that I'm going to get that error? Is it going to... It's horrible to have that thought. I know it's a very slim chance, but, you know...
You were saying it's really weird that Pokemon are able to get
restore it.
Restore the data.
There's been quite a few Japanese players where they've contacted Nintendo and they've sent, like, across the internet, they've sent their save data to them and then when it's been sent back to their Switch... The save's been restored. So it is possible to get that save data back and hopefully players that have experienced these issues. I covered a video on it. You can contact Nintendo support and then you'll have to do
like,
it directly.
Nintendo kind of getting like bodied at the moment. Like, you know how they don't, like, they're a very funny company. They DMCA everything, stuff like that. with the new laws in like Europe, the right to repair laws for Europe could basically force, I think it's happening, them to repair any Joy-Con drift.
Oh, they are, aren't they?
That, yeah, they have to do it.
I've got a couple of Joy-Cons that are just
brutal. I sold mine, my original Joy-Cons back. So I bought my Switch in Japan. And back in 2019, back when we were doing stuff on the channel, way back when we did some Mario Kart stuff and stuff, I was getting mad Joy-Con drift. So I had to sell them, and I bought a second-hand pair of Joy-Cons from CX. And it's so bad that they've just managed to get away with it. Like, it's like such a common problem. It's not like it's a few. Like, it's like the biggest problem they've had with the Switch.
Yeah, I think
and they just got away with not having to do anything.
Yeah, it's crazy. I might actually, it's a hassle sending them off, but I might do it with mine. I think one of mine, the issue I had with mine was they had the Joy-Con drift. So I actually was fortunate enough to have another Switch at the time. So I just ended up using that. And then I got a Pro Controller. So I just ended up using that and not using the Joy-Cons at all. But the original Joy-Cons from that first Switch, one of them, the battery died on it. So I literally couldn't charge. It wouldn't even plugged into the Switch. Wouldn't charge up.
What?
So it's like, I watched a video of some guy that was like, if you get this issue, you can buy this charging dock for the Joy-Cons. And it's like £10 off Amazon. So I bought that. And it does charge, but the two older Joy-Cons that I've got, because they like depleted and for some reason even plugged into the Switch when it's docked, it won't charge them. They won't even start to charge because they're just dead. And I'm like, well, what do I do now? I've just like got this charging dock that's really pointless and my Joy-Cons don't work, so I might send those off. So yeah. If anyone's done it though, let us know how you got on, how long it took. Probably a month turnaround, right? I know the guy that the first guy that released his kind of story about getting his save data back on Scarlet and Violet, he had to send his Switch off to Nintendo. So he packaged it up, sent it off to them, and they sent it back and said there's no fault on the system that they could fix. And then it wasn't until he kept chasing it up, then he managed to get them to so he sent them his save data that was on the Switch. And then they took that, and then I think 2 weeks later they sent it back. The save data.
It must be a problem with the Switch, or like reading the save file.
It's definitely that last update. Definitely that last update. 100%. There's something in that must. I don't know. It's such a rare occurrence.
It's just bizarre that it's not affecting everyone.
Yeah.
But you know that do be how it works.
The good news is though that it's recoverable. So yeah. But yeah, the Topagos baby. In the anime.
Maybe Tobagos. Yeah, I did see it. It is.
It'll be interesting to...
I mean, it does feel like, you know, in the coming weeks, we will start to hopefully ramp up, especially with Home coming out, the rumours for the DLC, because we haven't really had anything, have we?
Not had anything since Pokemon Day, since that
bizarre.
Presents. So,
you know, especially if it's coming in September or potentially earlier, you know, you'd think we'd have something.
Well, it's weird as well, because the dates for the DLCs, we've touched on it in previous podcasts, you know, the dates... And the presents, when we had that, the dates kind of indicated that it would be fall and winter this year. But if you go onto the eShop, it's late 2023 for the first DLC pack and then early 2024 for the second DLC pack for the Indigo Disc. So best guess, who knows when we're going to get the DLCs for Scarlet and Violet.
I reckon they just gave themselves a bit of breathing room because they've had problems.
Maybe.
I reckon they planned to release it the same as before, but it was like, we've had so many problems, let's just stagger it.
Maybe, yeah, and maybe they need to get it. Yeah, maybe there's issues that they want to make sure there's nothing else wrong before they do throw it out. I think that's probably one of the reasons why Home's not out yet. But who knows? Because we don't get any communication directly about this.
Of course we don't.
So it's speculation all around for all that stuff, which is just kind of normal. But we'll see. We'll report on it. Hopefully, we'll have some news soon on those. But that's exciting. The new anime, I don't know when it's due to come over to the West, but it'll probably be later this year. Other things we've got, we've mentioned the Palafin has been a new distribution as well. Mystery Gift dropped for Scarlet and Violet, a bunch of things.
It was actually decent, wasn't it?
It's not too bad. There's like three different codes and they're all running until like the 2nd of October. So it's a really long time. So even if you get in the game later this year, if you haven't already bought it, you're still going to be able to receive these, which would be quite good to get like the start of your game. So there's 10 rare candies that you can get, and that is called Level Up. There's five max revives, which is revive code, and then there's five nest ball, dive ball, disc ball, timer ball, quick ball, and luxury ball.
No love
which
balls.
Is no, I'm not going to give those out freely. They did for the Valentine's Day.
That was good, to be fair. I got those. I think that was actually good.
Yeah, that was good. And that's catch by ball. So I'll put the codes up over this if you are wanting to get them. And they're available, like I said, until 2nd of October. So you've got plenty of time in-game to take advantage of those. So that was a little drop over the weekend that we had for Mystery Gifts. The Typhlosion 7-star raid event was running. The raid builds.
How did it go? I mean, we had a lot of positive comments. For Rigorath, man, coming in clutch.
Yeah, it's a good idea. It's a good idea.
It's a good idea. And it was even mentioned on a certain large card channel. I don't know whether it's a hint to your channel or not, but, you know.
Maybe.
But
never know. No, the Frigoraph, I thought would work. It all hinged, the skill swaps all hinged on how the Typhlosion interacted with its shield. And obviously, it was a bit of a hiccup with...
But you thought Meowth, you were the only people that thought Meowth Skarada would be really good, right?
I thought Meowth Skarada would be good. But stay tuned for later this week when it comes back, because I'm going to show you all how Meowth Skarada is going to be the best to use in this raid. I've figured it out. Skill swap Meowth Skarada works, and I've got a way to make it work. Even though, because after turn two, it nullifies all your abilities, Sunny Days and Eruptions. So for that turn, you don't have the flash fire.
Yeah,
you just get nuked.
Yeah,
and then when you come back, you can't skill swap again because the Typhlosion has overgrowth. So you're kind of stuck. The key with the skill swap is to make sure that you don't faint. But I've got a way to make sure that Meowth Skarada, even though the ability's nullified, I'm going to sit on it for the second phase.
Can't wait to see.
And all these people were like, don't use a grass type. And I'm like,
what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Well,
you can
tell
have
you
fun
about
using your favorite starter Pokemon, beat the Typhlosion, and it's pretty effective. It's just as good, if not better, than the Frigoraph. But the Frigoraph was good. Obviously, Anilip, again, is just an easy pick for people.
It's so funny that, like, you know, when you first made that video on your channel, where it's like, Anilip's so good for 6-star terror rate, it's still good for 7-star terror rate.
It's so good for everything, isn't it? It's surpassed
the
like
Rage
Iron
Fist
Hands.
Stuff is just so good.
First off, it was Iron Hands. Iron Hands, just an absolute unit.
Right, so many people. So, for those of you who don't know, Lee made this short way back at the beginning when Iron Hands was good.
It was like a week or two into after the games had dropped.
Everything was new. Was
no
like,
one
oh
had figured
God.
Anything out, really.
No. So, Lee was like, Iron Hands, obviously great, right? It has great stats, great bulk. Gets Drain Punch and it gets Belly Jump. So I was always like, this is a great one for raids.
Yeah.
And after like a month or two after the game, when obviously Iron Hands was no longer great, we would get so many comments being like, please stop telling people to run Iron Hand. I get so many people in my raids. Like, bro, you actually look when this was made like months ago.
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, and people think it was uploaded like last week sometimes when they see it on their shorts feed. And I'm like,
no. Because it has like nearly a million views.
Really?
It's like 800K now.
Wow.
So it's like...
Yeah. It's not wrong though. It's just not 100% correct. But
depends
it
depends
on
the type
on.
Of Pokemon. Exactly.
Yeah. Terror Raids are different. It depends on the Pokemon that you're going up against. But Iron Hand's always a good choice. But coming back to Anilip, mate. Anilip just feels like it's going to work in pretty much most things. It does so well in most raid events. The Rage Fist's so good because it just... continually powers up, so it doesn't even matter if you get knocked out. It's keeping that, it's retaining that power boost. So the base
it's staying, keeps it still.
Yeah, for the entire raid. So even if you faint, the Rage Fist
does it max out
300 base power with stab on top of that. Then you can terrestrialize, and then you get the increased. So it's pretty powerful. It's a good way to just if you've got an Annihilate, may as well just use it if you don't want to. I like building different things for the raids. That's why I like using different things.
What's weird, right? Because you get. As we discussed earlier, you know, you get a lot of heat. You get a lot of heat sometimes for your pre-builds.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think, you know, obviously I'm going to be a bit biased, but, I mean, from your perspective, I mean, you never say these are what... You always give... For starters, you never say these are definitely going to work. And also, you give multiple options.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think it's fun. It's fine to spectate, like, or...
It's a big part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, like, speculate, because it builds hype for the raids. And, you know, of course, you're not going to know until the raid comes out, but it's always fun. People love speculating. I mean, look at people make money just on rumors on their channels and stuff. So for anything. So, you know, it's just a bit of fun, really. You
it's
have a lot of choices.
There's someone there that it upsets, so. Well, the majority of people enjoy it, so that's the main thing.
Yeah, they do work as well. Like, yeah. You get a few comments being like, why are you doing this? These don't work. So they do. They clearly do work.
Most of them do work. And we got the follow-up videos after the event's gone live. I always thoroughly test stuff. So, you know, that's the one where I'm like, okay, this is what we did during the week. This is the one that I think works. There we go. And let's go. It's just to try and make it a bit easier for people that are doing the raids, you know, because not everyone has, like, a background in... And I'm not saying it's because I played competitive for so many years, but I do have a lot of knowledge on how Pokemon like works. So I try and apply that with the builds when I'm putting things together, speculating what will work. And I think, you know, that experience does definitely help with the raids and stuff like that. So, yeah, I enjoy doing it, mate. And it's good.
Put my really good videos.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Very kind of you.
So you even had a couple of comments, people coming up to you and be like,
I met some really nice people this weekend at the event. So if any of you were the people that I met watching this, it was great meeting you. Yeah, and really nice, really positive. And it's always nice to meet people and just kind of like see what they're into in the Pokemon world. And yeah, just get any feedback on videos and stuff like that. So it's awesome. It's really, really privileged. I feel privileged. So yeah, it's always nice, mate. It's always really nice.
No, yeah, it's great.
I'm not the best at receiving compliments. I am terrible at receiving compliments.
It's hard, isn't it? Because it's hard to be like, well, you can say obviously acknowledge it, but like you don't want to be arrogant.
I'm really
like, yeah, I'm so good.
No, I could never do that, and I'm always very judgmental on myself. So I put a lot of I never compliment myself about anything. I always kind of judge myself really like harshly, and I always think I could be doing things better. What did I do wrong there? So yeah, personally for me, like I'm not the best at acknowledging things that have been good that I've done. And I don't ever really boast about it. I don't know. It's not me. I mean, do I boast about stuff that I've done? I mean, when I'm not messing around, I mean, sometimes if I'm messing around, just being a,
no,
you know,
no, you're very
jocking about, yeah, but
very reserved.
Yeah, I don't like to, just not me, mate. But
do you?
Yeah, just do you? Yeah. There's another global challenge as well coming up this weekend. I'm going to throw that in. If you are playing anything online, you can play three games and you will get the prize for playing in it. This week, the last time it was on, it was a Pokeball bag that you got for the three games.
Yeah, it's pretty Christy.
This time around it is...
I'm really hoping when the DLC comes out that they introduce some really good customization options for the characters, because their outfits are so bad.
They have to, though. And
they got him, man. I'm going to be so upset if they don't.
The teal mask, it looks like we get a new uniform anyway, so it'll be a bit of a change. They did the same in Sword and Shield. The customization was a lot better in Sword and Shield, but we did get, you know, when we went to the Isle of Armor... No, we didn't get a new outfit in the Isle of Armor. We got a new outfit in the Crown Tundra, didn't we? We got the snow suit, which was different. But it looks like from the overall art and things like that, from the DLC information that we got, it looks like we're going to get those kind of Kamino suit things, which is pretty cool. So there might be some more
cheeky
options there. It'd be cool if we got to wear... Imagine if your character could wear those masks that we've kind of been teased in that trailer as well. So you could have like a cool little mask on your trailer, because we've already got that helmet that everyone wears, right?
So yeah, the weird...
The Daft Punk helmet.
Yeah.
So it'd be cool if we could have, like, the masks and things, and then little things like that, hopefully, yeah. But, like I say, global challenge, you need to go into the rank ladder. You can register right up until the tournament starting, which will be on the Friday, the same time as the Terror Raid event for Typhlosion Phase 2 will be starting. You can register right up to a minute before the event starts, at midnight UTC. And then if you do and you play three games, don't need to win them, you just need to play three games and you will get yourself a Great Ball bag, which is a little customizable feature in Scarlet and Violet. So that's running, and there'll be more running, I think, every other week for the next couple of weeks, for the next month. So there'll be two more after this one, and they're all kind of coinciding with the official tournament for VG, as well as the qualifiers for the Japan national circuit as well. So that is all going on. So we'll keep you updated with everything as and when they come out.
I was going to say something, I've completely lost.
Chandelure's coming to Unite.
Chandelure? Oh yeah, I saw that.
Chandelure's coming to Unite, which is pretty exciting. I like Chandelure.
It's a great Pokemon.
Looks like a terrestrialized type, as well, doesn't it?
It does look like a that's weird, isn't it? Mate, fire. Imagine a chandelier on top of a chandelier.
Yeah. be cool.
I miss chandelier.
Maybe why it's not in Scarlet and Violet. They were like, we can't have this.
We can't have double chandelier.
It's a shame. I like chandelier a lot. It's really cool. Has a really cool shiny as well.
Yes, it's like red, isn't it?
Like orange.
Orangey, yeah, like fire.
Like fire, yeah. I don't know what else has been going on this week. Pokemon Go, I haven't really heard much more about the drama going on. But the problem is, we had some really good responses on the last podcast from people that were, you know, suffering from the decisions being made by Niantic to change these raid passes and things. So thank you so much to everyone that did leave comments and reach out to us from the last podcast. And hopefully the movement that you can see happening in the community does have some impact. If there's anything we can do on the podcast here,
100%.
To get information out to help that, please let us know in the comment section below, because we are fully behind that and helping make it more inclusive for everyone, because it's just not cool.
I did actually speak to someone. So some of our friends were playing Pogo during the weekend, because they had obviously loads of Pokemon stops and stuff and raids going on this weekend. They always do it for events, so it's always a good time, you know, even just to come along for that.
Yeah.
You like Pokemon Go. And I was speaking to someone who plays it quite a lot, and he was like, it's like, yeah, it is really bad. You know, like, I used to do them quite a lot because I live in the middle of nowhere, as we mentioned, as like one of the main points for it. If you live in the middle of nowhere, it meant you can just host a raid and, you know, invite someone from America, anywhere in the world. You know, it is really jarring for those. Yeah. We had a few like disabled people comment on the video saying, this is like really bad for me. Like, I can't play the game that I enjoy now.
Yeah.
It's really affected me. So.
And I feel really bad because I kind of overlooked that aspect of it, and like just a bit naive, I think, in the first podcast when we mentioned it. And I think, man, yeah, it's not.
Someone mentioned that someone on the comments was mentioning that they basically had a theory saying that the lease that they have, because they rent the rights from Pokemon, right, Niantic, is running out. And apparently they're going to release their own kind of Pokemon Go clone. Because they have the data, right? They also have a similar game.
Yeah, was the base model for Pokemon Go and Pokestops.
But apparently they have like a similar version coming out, and they're just like trying to screw Pokemon over before this was the guy's theory, before they release their own one.
Not be Pokemon, though. I think the biggest appeal to it is it's Pokemon. These players that play Pokemon Go.
Yeah,
Pokemon,
they're not going to play. Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. They're not just going to bin it, are they?
No. And it may be better if Pokemon actually just take it over and it's not Niantic anymore. And then maybe get another developer in to work on, like, if that lease is gone, and say, we're taking this back. We've got the base software. We'll give you payout. I don't know how it would work. And then Pokemon take it over and get another developer to kind of run it in place, because all the groundwork's there. And that might be the solution. But Pokemon Go is not going away anytime soon.
No, I mean, yeah.
So big. So good, so big.
It kind of. I just remember when it came out, man. It was so popular.
Oh, it was so good. I still love it now. I just don't really have the time. And like I say, I live in the middle of nowhere. So I do suffer from that.
If you lived in London, it would have been amazing, right? Or any big city.
Yeah. I always envy those people. Like, I've been to friends' houses before and they've literally got a Pokestop outside their house. So they can just be like, ping.
Yeah, in the village we used to live, and we had one in our village, and we'd be like, sick.
That's where I live now, mate. I've got one Pokestop in the entire... I have to walk 20 minutes. It's near the local shop, and I walk
20
there.
Minutes?
Yeah. So I walk to the local shop. I can get the Pokestop. There's one gym there. So if I walk up there, I can put my Pokemon in the gym. I'll come back the next day. There'll be another... It'll be gone, but I'll get some coins for it. But that is literally, like, if I was stuck in that village, it would be... That's all I would have access to and nothing else. And it's not like you can do a raid on your own, you know? You need friends to do raids with. So I need to find out who those other people are that are putting their Pokemon in the gym.
Who are you?
We'll team up. We'll team up and do it. That would be good. So hopefully things keep getting, like, well, hopefully there's some movement on that and there's some improvements made to Pokemon Go. Pokemon Stadium came out on Wednesday through last week, so that is now live in Pokemon Switch World Online.
As we mentioned, I don't think there's just... It makes me wonder when Home come out, are they going to be like, oh, you can't test a Pokemon now? It just seems such a weird...
Yeah, I don't
there
think...
There just wasn't any hype for it.
No, it kind of... it was a little bit sad, really, because it's such a good game. The minigames are cool. Minigames are very cool, but, I mean, that is probably the biggest kind of draw for it. because you can't trade in your Pokemon, and the rental Pokemon are just garbage, really, because the sets aren't very good. It is a challenge, of course. So if you like a challenge and you like playing with some of the more fully evolved Pokemon with bad sets and not as effective moves, or if you want to use like middle evolution Pokemon or whatever, you can do that. But it's not quite the same as using your own Pokemon. And that's the whole thing. Like, I was like, when I heard the announcement, I was like, I can't wait to play through Pokemon Red again to just build teams so I can transfer Pokemon into it. And then you realize, oh yeah, can't do it. So,
this is, yeah. Talking about that, we were talking last night, we went out for some drinks and spoke to some friends. There's the guy on YouTube that recreates teams that have won.
Blessy, is it? I'm Blessy, I think.
Yeah, so basically...
I think that's his channel name. Great content, though.
What he does is, so he will find competitive teams that have done well in games.
Let me just check.
Like in tournaments and stuff. So he'll go back and look at tournaments for like Red and Blue, you know, like Ruby and Sapphire, like on the old games, and see what teams did really well, and then play through the games to see how long it takes to get the team competitively.
Yeah,
and like he said, back in like, was it like Red and Blue, they had to like play the games multiple times because...
No, it was the Journey Across America episode.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, yeah.
He recreated the winning team from the Journey Across America, which is like 2005 or 2006.
Uh-huh.
Could be wrong. But yeah, in a combination, the winner had to buy seven games. So it was Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald. Then it was Fire Red, Leaf Green, then Colosseum, and then Gales of Darkness. So there were seven games combined, and he had to play through them multiple times because TMs back then were one use. So he had to play through them multiple times.
Yeah, explosion on two Pokemon.
Yeah, so you had to play through, I think, Gales of Darkness, and it was, I don't know if it was, I want to say around like 8 to 10 hours of play just to get that TM. So you had to do that twice.
Brutal.
But I am Blissey.
I am Blissey.
I am Blissey. I'm a Blissey.
I'm a Blissey.
I'm a Blissey. That's it. Yeah. Recreates these teams like as in how they would have to do them and sees how long it would take them to do it and creates a video about them. Very entertaining, very interesting as well, especially for the older generation stuff. But Red and Blue, I mean, was... I don't really know much RNG stuff in Red and Blue, but I know they didn't call them IVs back in Red and Blue and Yellow. They were DVs, and they ran.
Bro, imagine if they did like
they ran from 1 to 15
or side months. Events on like Game Boys competitive. Stop it. Could you imagine a tournament? Yeah, or on stadium, just like proper old school would be wicked.
They could do it on stadium now because it's on the Switch.
Yeah.
So all they need is the integration with these classic games.
Yeah, people would be all over it.
Yeah, and you could do it on Pokemon Stadium 2. You could do it on Stadium 1. You could, re-release Pokemon Battle Revolution for the Wii, have a Wii simulator on the Switch, and then do them on, like, Pearl and Diamond. There's, like, just scope for so much, mate. Be great. I'd be all over that.
Yes, so would I. Yeah. I think it'd be sick. Mm. They have the Pokemon IP, as we mentioned, they hit you with the nostalgia, right, when you're young. They get you in when you're young, and then when you're older, you get hit with the nostalgia. It doesn't matter who you are, right? Yeah. Most people play Pokemon games, you know, and it's just, I mean, it's all the amount of people that are in the Pokemon Center, man. These people probably just...
I had a little, because I went in on... what day was it? Friday. I had a break during the stream. So I was like, I'm going to pop out to the Pokemon Center just to check it out. So I went along and I was just walking around. I had no intention of buying anything because I was like in the middle of the production day. So I thought I'll just go and check it out, see what's happening, see the vibe, see what products are on, things like that. So I went in and obviously all suited and booted. I was walking around and this little kid comes up and he's like, do you know if they sell old Pokemon games in here? And I'm like... they probably don't, but I don't think they do. They might have Scarlet and Violet, though, in here, because I'm like... I'm clocking on. This kid thinks I work here. I know. And then his dad came up as well, and I was like, yeah, I'm really sorry. I don't know if they do. Maybe ask one of the guys in the... I think they had, like, yellow polo shirts on that day. I was like, maybe ask one of the guys in the yellow polo shirts if they've got any of the the a game section, which I don't think they do, but then he just laughed and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. And kind of realized, and I was like, yeah. But no, the vibe was good. All Pokemon games, though, imagine they could do it. They could do it. They could easy create old Pokemon games again, couldn't they? Get them into
production. On old school stuff.
Re-release
man.
The Game Boy, GBA.
People would be all over that,
mate.
Man.
They would sell. There would be a cash printing machine, wouldn't it?
They already print cash, so they just use the cash that they already print to make more cash.
Yeah, they just need to do like a limited edition Game Boy special edition, like 20. Like, what will the next anniversary be? The 30th anniversary. 30th anniversary. Here's your idea, Game Freak, Nintendo.
£100 Game Boy.
Re-release the Game Boy.
All over that.
30th anniversary edition with original classic cartridges as well. Get the production back in. Be good, wouldn't it?
Original cartridges. Oh, my God.
I wonder when the copyright runs out on those games. Because, you know, copyright only lasts on
10 years
for certain things, yeah? And where you could be like, okay, well, we can create this. Like, now we can recreate this. Because the copyrights run out and Nintendo aren't going to do it, but we could, you know, someone could come along and say, well, let's do it. Because there's obviously, there was people out there that would buy them. I mean, look at the secondhand market where, you know.
I've got an original Game Boy. I bought one like 5 or 6 years ago, like a blue one. It's like Game of Color. It's awesome.
Yeah. And they're cool, right? I mean, on the train on the way down, I was playing Crystal on my Game Boy Color. And I was like, this is amazing. I love it. It's so small as well. It's crazy.
Just a quick story I forgot to mention. So, So on the train on the way down, right? So before I was telling you this story. So once at London Bridge Station, like when you in the UK, when you go, like when you get off a train, you have to go through a barrier that shows you paid for a ticket, right? And it's like a little door system. You put your ticket in or you scan your phone, your Oyster card or whatever, your card, and it opens and then they close as you go through. And so once I was at London and I was walking through, like busy time, I had a backpack on, I walked through, they closed on my backpack and I'm like flailing, right? And there's loads of people staring at me and I was like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. And I was like, the only way I could get out because it had like squished my backpack in so tightly was to like, I had to climb out of the backpack and then yank it out. And I was like, oh my God. And so on the way down, right, on yesterday morning, literally, as I got off the train at London Bridge, I was like, oh, do you remember that time I got stuck in the like in the little doors? And like, so I go down to the tube, tap my thing through, go to walk through, boop, on my backpack again. And I'm literally sitting there gobsmacked because I was like, I literally thought about this like a minute ago and it's happened to me again. And I'm like, oh my God. And so I tried to take my backpack off again, but the doors like get tighter and tighter and like I can't move my arms. And the guy behind me was like, please, can you try and open the door? And then it didn't work and they had to call someone over and there's like loads of people behind me because it's London Bridge Station. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh, thank you. And I like run away. I was so embarrassed.
Second time, mate.
Second time. I can't believe it happened twice.
Twice. That's hilarious. I'd have loved to have seen that.
Itty bitty me flailing.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Good story. Good story. Good memories. Let's see if it can happen a third time.
Oh.
Third time. The trains are terrible on the way down for me, but that's another story for another time. What was I talking about? The classic things. We were talking about Pokemon Stadium. So that's out now. Let me know if you've been playing it.
I think that's it, to be honest.
But
really.
Other than that, not like a great deal going on this week. Hopefully we
do
get
some news. I reckon.
Yeah, I think this week, I think we'll get, because you've got to think, we mentioned it on the last pod about the update that's coming at the end of April. So we're going to have the second phase of the Typhlosion raid, which will be it'll be next week. I can never bring my calendar up in this. Oh, there we go. Right there. Yeah. So the next phase of the Typhlosion raid will be the 23rd of April. We're running over that weekend, so finish on the 23rd. Now, we'd be due to get an announcement for the next 7-star raid on the 24th.
Okay.
But we know that we're going to get an update, and the Walking Wake and the Iron Leaves raid will be running again, coinciding with that update.
Uh-huh.
So that would make sense that the Iron Leaves Walking Wake raid will be on the 28th of April, coinciding with the update. Potentially, that update could be the one for home. If it's not, I don't know when we're going to get home. I really don't. I have no idea because
I
feel like they do this update and then it's going to be another month before we get another update. They're not going to drop another one straight away.
Mate, if they don't drop home, I'm going to be
If it's into June, it's crazy. So potentially we'll get some news about it this coming week, I imagine. If not, it will be the week after for sure. But that Walk and Wake, Iron Leaves Raid coming again. So if you have caught it already, you're not going to be able to catch it again. But if you had issues with Bad Egg or you missed that event when it did drop originally, then it gives you another chance to get those legendary Pokemon, which is quite cool. So that's a nice little thing. And the update hopefully fixes some stuff because none of the updates seem to fix anything. And they were menu, so we'll see.
What?
Just breaking things. Yeah, I don't think there's really anything else other than that, mate.
The podcast is now on iTunes or Apple Podcasts now. Yes. We managed to get it on there. So if that's where you go to listen to your podcast, you can listen to it on there as well as on Spotify. We could really encourage you to please leave us a review on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts because it helps with the ratings. So, you know. Drop us a review, it would mean a lot. So we really appreciate it. Again, everyone that keeps watching, we love it. Thank you to everyone who's spoken to me that said they've watched the podcast. Costa, our friend Sam as well, also said that he's watched it as well. It's just like we haven't, you know, we've only done 3 episodes and we've had some like really good feedback. And, you know, as we mentioned multiple times, something we really wanted to do for a long time and we really enjoy it. So it's got to continue to happen because we love doing this. We love Pokemon. We might not... Hopefully we'll do more in person, you know, if we go to more events and stuff. Obviously, it's great to see you in person and stuff. So, obviously, doing it online is cool, but in person is just as good. So, you know, you never know where we might be every week. So,
I'm joking. No, it's great. The feedback's brilliant. Thank you so much, everyone, for everything, all the interactions and stuff. Keep them coming. And, yeah, like Scott says, if you can, take a single second or however long it takes, just a few minutes to leave a review on Spotify, it'd be massively helpful. And obviously, if you're watching this on YouTube, thank you just so much for the support, because this is kind of, if you want to hop over to Spotify and leave us a review, then even more.
Even better, we love
brownie,
you guys.
Brownie points, yeah. And yeah, we are enjoying it still. So we'll be looking forward to bringing more news next week. And hopefully we have some more updates in regards to Scarlet and Violet DLC stuff, anime stuff, and everything else on top of that. And some more updates with Pokemon Go as well, because that is the hot topic, I feel, at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap it up, mate.
Let's wrap it up.
It's been great.
Till next time.
Until next time, friends, take care of yourselves.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Everybody just do your thing. Wake up. Today's gonna be a good day. Wake up. Today's gonna be a good day. Wake up. Today's gonna be a good day.